Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice whether you feel like it or not. Practice ignoring any voice of resistance, especially I don't want to and I don't feel like it. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Thanks very much. I'm curious. I'm looking at gratitude in
okay,
my...
Okay, whoa. Hang on a sec.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec.
Sure.
Who's this?
It's Alice.
Alice?
Yes.
All right. Hi, Alice.
Hi.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm looking at gratitude... And what I'm noticing is it's making me chuckle. What's making me chuckle about it is that if I combine gratitude with equanimity, I'm not going to judge this. It feels to me I can let go quite easily of all sorts of things which other people appear to think we're not meant to let go of. I don't have to grieve anything. Well, perhaps I should be specific about something in particular. We all change as we go through our lives, and we might miss something that we used to do an awful lot. And I'm finding that if our circumstances change, we can just give thanks that we don't, for example, we don't have to do long distance running if our legs don't run at this moment in time. Just laugh and say, well, thank goodness I don't have to do that. So Is it all right just to say we've got equanimity and sometimes the world just has to clear a space in order to make room for something different, and that might be awareness practice in all the time not spent plodding along in a pair of trainers? I don't know. It's a big thank you, actually. It's a big thank you, because when I hear myself saying I don't know, I chuckle again and say how thankful I am to Cherry and the whole team for saying it's okay not to know. Always keep that don't know mind, and when that don't know mind comes clear, then you'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hurry. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for patience, which comes up in the Universe book. It's got a lovely page on patience. Lovely. And then I'm grateful for all the things I've heard you say about being in nature over the years. Ages ago, when God... I can't say when God was a boy unless it applies to me, because other people might not agree about them. I'm just remembering how there was a comment I can't remember when, about being careful when you sleep and spending time out in the nature... and taking exercise, going for a walk, and these ways we restore our energy and we feel well, and then it all takes care of itself.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's my observation. It might not be everybody else's. I'm all right with that.
Right. what I hear is you're enjoying yourself.
I'm having a grand old time. And
uh-huh.
You guys are very good company, and I'm very thankful. And I thought, do you know what? I'm even thankful for the lovely lady who rang up at one stage during this year. I haven't had the nerve to ring in for 2 years. I haven't done anything. Oh, something lovely came to me the other day. I was hearing an American accent. That's fine. It's a perfect accent. The saying about duality. And I thought, yeah, I don't want duality. I want beality. We would call it duality. And when I heard duality, I thought, ooh, that's a nice one. We want beality. Oh, this is just silly playing with words. But, yeah, it's good fun. Why not play with words?
Why not?
Because it's not very clear. I much prefer clarity, actually. Sometimes when we joke. Yeah.
And we're conditioned to... of course, to take everything seriously, because that's how ego likes it to be. And we're also conditioned not to look at the beliefs we have about particular words and what they mean. And
that's
so
true. Yeah.
Yeah. As you're indicating, when those kinds of playful things drop in, we have a chance to see something from a new perspective, and that's very nice.
It's lovely. Well, I'm really mm-hmm. thankful that you put this thing onto recordings, so that I don't have to worry. I don't have to even try and remember the pearls of wisdom that I know I'm being happy and getting. And do you know what? I just got to laugh. I'm not going to laugh at anyone. So I'm listening. I'm showing that some of the homework's going in, some of the prep's mm-hmm. going in, that we don't have to do anything. And we can forgive ourselves if we didn't quite get round to all of the assignments. That was a true gift earlier in the year when someone said it. They were just going to mm-hmm. recommence and not beat themselves
yes.
up about not having done X, Y, Z. So do you know what I'm doing today? I thought, you know, you could ring them up and you might get through, but, you know, you might not, you know. So why don't you make an equanimity win-win? So it's great if they do, great if they don't. And so I'm down at the riverside, and I'm feeding the ducks, and so are you lot. You're getting to feed the ducks. And there's also a red-nosed moorhen and a coot with a white nose, and there's a lady duck who's got 10 little chicks. She's a mallard, and she's hungry, and all of the drakes are trying to eat her food. So I have to feed them a lot. You can't leave anyone else out. And then mm-hmm. I can throw something to her without her getting mobbed. That's
right.
How we're all connected. If you want yes. to feed one of them because she's looking after 12 chicks, you've got to feed 5 males who'll come and mob her to nick her food. So it's just thank you for saying you've got that everyone's connected, because we are. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it's all just very it's joyful, isn't it? Thank you for
yes,
all the things
is.
You do, because
well,
you know,
thank
I'm,
you. And,
all the homework I've done is paying off.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad we're there with you, enjoying the birds and the ducks and all of that. So,
Terry, I've got one question. Am I blowing something if I'm making it so it's always a win-win? Is that sometimes copping out?
Well, it's not my experience that it is, but as we know, I don't know. The thing that there's an expression that's attributed to the Buddha, and who knows if he ever said it or anything like it, but it goes, when you're suffering, remember it's possible not to suffer. And when you're not suffering, remember it's possible to suffer. And I think yeah. all he meant by that was if we let our enjoyment put us to sleep, then the odds are increasing that at some point we're going to be blindsided by
for sure.
By ego. And so we just want to stay in awareness. And whatever, if we get to that place of gratitude for whatever happens in our lives, then we decrease the odds that we will be blindsided. And we can just enjoy knowing that whatever happens, I'm going to be here for it.
Well, that's lovely, because if we stop running, then we might start swimming. And if we're not swimming, then we might start doing yoga. And someone lovely said that they were grateful that their body would still let them do yoga. And I thought, oh, God, I could feel like that. I'm going to mm-hmm. do yoga immediately. Then I discovered my body wouldn't do yoga for me. And then I decided, well, I'm thankful I can sit in my bum and do nothing and call it meditation.
All right.
Thank you all. Bless you all. I'm going to zip it now. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thanks for letting us know how you're doing. You take care, okay?
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Alan. No, what I'm saying in that, sharing that statement about what the Buddha, what was attributed to the Buddha, is really that place of we can be with what is, and what is does contain both the possibility of suffering and not suffering. It's mm-hmm. it's such a unique perspective, because the conditioned process says it's one or the other, or if there is one, how can you feel the other? Like it's not definitive, right? That's mm-hmm. the beauty of the moment. It contains mm-hmm. all of the possibility, and I'm present to the possibility because I'm with life in the orientation of how.
Yes.
Not
yes.
What.
And, right. And that's the one of the most famous perspectives that the Buddha offered us is that this is samsara, the world of suffering, and this is nirvana.
Yeah.
We're not, it's not, this is samsara, and we're going to somehow do something that's going to get us to nirvana.
It really brings us to the assignment of resistance, right? I don't want to, I don't feel like it doesn't mean you don't. Do it.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. so and I can not feel like it, and I will do it anyway.
That's right. And what we're learning, as was pointed out in our previous call, what we're learning to do is do whatever it is joyfully.
Yes.
Gratefully.
From the place
of
how. Yes, mm-hmm. because there is a way in which conditioned mind can go, what is not very nice.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it always will, actually. Sooner or later.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Carol from San Francisco.
Hello, Carol.
Hello. I love the discussion about we can suffer or not suffer. Well, I didn't word it right, but the thing that I'm looking at this week is...
Carol, you're kind of going in and out a little bit.
Okay.
That's better.
Oh, wait a minute.
Whatever you did.
Okay, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Perfectly.
Okay. Sorry, I was on speaker. So what I'm looking at this week is receiving, when I receive material or monetary or services, what's that like and what's the resistance? So I was in a work setting. I was struggling with something, and then I received help. And it seemed like I received help from a boss in the form of listening and problem solving. And then I was ridiculed for needing help afterwards.
Internally?
No. The other person that was in the room told me that later on he laughed and ridiculed me and did gestures and stuff. So it kind of played on the part that doesn't trust people. And I had the impulse to go to self-pity and resentment. But what came to me was I remember what I'm like when I'm in passive-aggressive and how painful that is and that I'm not a happy person when I'm there. And so for that moment, there was an option then to go instead of to the place I've been thousands of times, which is to be angry and resentful and poor me, somebody ridiculed me and he's my boss and whatever, to go to, oh, that must be so painful for him. And if I don't step down into that, then I'm free. You know, I don't mean in a repressive way, but in a real way. And
yeah. How he is not your problem. Unless
exactly.
you make it your problem. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it just goes on and it becomes an ongoing problem. And then we all have to talk behind each other's back to release the pressure. And it's just ongoing and it's horrible. And then I felt I was so grateful that I had that victory and had really gotten free from it and moved on to the next job and was free. And then this morning it was there again. So it occurred to me
the story was there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then
okay.
I thought, well, okay, things circle back, but what do I need? Oh, I know. I could record because there's somebody there that still needs to be heard, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that was the second piece of it.
And when you did that person feel heard? It didn't seem like it was just a ploy by ego to try to drag you into an old suffering pattern.
It wasn't that. It was because what I work with is I tend to just jump over things and go, okay, great, I'm free from that, but there's somebody here that still needs something and that feels kind of like need to be heard. Great, mm-hmm. We took the high road, but there's somebody here that still has a few things about being laughed at or not being helped when she thinks she's going to get helped, and that person needed to address that, and so there was two parts to it. And both of them got taken care of.
And you know what, to me, what's so powerful about what you're saying, Carol, is that that person who felt like she needed help and then felt like she was made fun of, and sounds like she was, you're the person, the practitioner, you, the grown-up, intelligent adult, you're the one who can give her what she needs.
Exactly. That's what it occurred to me. Sorry.
Yeah. It's not going to come from him. It's not going to come from anybody else. It's not going to come from anybody outside, because everybody outside has going whatever they have going. But you can be there for her, understand her completely, and protect her from conditioned human beings when we get identified and get cruel.
Yes. And it seems so obvious. Oh, pick up the recorder, but it isn't obvious always. But it was great when that was the solution. Yeah, you're the one that's going to be listening and taking care of business here, like meaning me, not somebody else. And it's such a conditioned karmic thing for me to be looking outside and then to be wounded if it self-pity, you know.
It has.
It was. And it was wonderful this morning to see another way.
Yes. And that's it, isn't it? I mean, we're in whatever egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate loops that we get in, and then practice is giving us the tools and the experience that we need to end that. And that's what happened.
Right.
You use the tools, and you had the insights, you had the awarenesses, you used the tools, and you found a freedom that's not just, as you say, I think, jumping over it, but actually resolving it, finishing it.
Yes, because I think I've heard Ashwini talk about there's two parts, you know, then there's still that person that is a practitioner that got it, but there's still that person that has needs, you know.
Yeah.
And then to record about that, it kind of hits it from both ends.
Yes. Yes. Well, then it does what I think we're here for, which is to embrace a human being in unconditional love and acceptance, to learn to be the wisdom, love, and compassion that can do that. And that's what you described.
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
So grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know
y'all.
What you mean. Thank you, Carol.
Yeah.
So happy.
Thank you. So happy.
Thanks, Carol. Sherry, I'm having a few issues with this program, so I'm just going to try to bring on the next caller while I troubleshoot. Here we go.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Tom from San Jose.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
I was just, I got in the queue because I was asked to, and I figured I'd figure something to say.
Good for you.
I've been struggling with the finances in a lot of ways, just hitting a lot of resistance, kind of non-specifically, and I realized, looking back on the month, that I made a commitment to myself when we started this that I would do a practice of tracking what I spend my money on, and then that is exactly when the resistance started.
Yeah.
And it was a couple of weeks of listening to the shows and not doing the assignments, before I realized what was going on. And for the practice piece that we're in now, I started that practice. And the freedom has been pretty significant for me in that, mm-hmm. being able to challenge it.
Yeah. That alone is the deal, isn't it?
Yes.
To see that the resistance is there to maintain control over you, to keep you in an anxious state or a confused state or a insecure state or whatever it is, which is where it likes to have us. You make a commitment to do something that takes the control away from ego. It goes into massive resistance, and we get to see. You know, it can render me incapable of even knowing what I've committed to, or noticing
yes.
that I'm not doing it. It's impressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I took a few more steps too. I'm trying to find time to get to the Zen Center, and I also bought a recorder for my daughter who was having some troubles with anxiety. So I'm going to see if I can at least encourage her to start on that and sign up for the recording and listening training. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. And, you know, maybe it's something that you can support one another in.
Yes.
Because that would, I don't know, if I were a young person, having a parent do a difficult practice with me, kind of as equal partners in acknowledging that we're up against the same sort of conditioning, would be very helpful and powerful.
Yes, I agree. I just hope, she's 17, so hopefully she's not too far gone into removing herself from parental involvement.
Right. well, that's why the kind of equal, we really at any age kind of resent people coming at us as if they have answers for us.
Yes.
And so this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm learning. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm trying to use this for. Can sometimes be can just open up a willingness that being told how to fix ourselves is just never going to provide.
Yes, I can see that, where we can be kind of co-sangha members instead of a teacher-student kind of a thing.
Yeah. And she'll help you stay on track, right? Which is because she'll catch on to the same thing. Oh, my God. I mean, how can I forget something for – how is that possible? And are beatings required when we forget something like that? And to realize, no, that's just how it works. That's
right.
The system that we're up against. And helping each other to recognize what that system is and to make your way through it. That's a great family activity.
Yeah, that's going to be really helpful. It's being 17 isn't easy, and so I hope I can.
Oh.
Being my age isn't easy either, so we can maybe share the love.
Being a human is not easy. Yeah. We all just need a lot of support for that, realizing that, and a lot of credit for sticking with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
All
well,
right.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Tom. Hope to see you ere long.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Tom. I hadn't seen this before, Sherry. We always talk about resistance as ego, that it's,
mm-hmm.
That what says no to life, yes, what resists looking, what doesn't want to. There's so much of that. But there is a way in which there's resistance signals survival. There's fear there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that goes
mm-hmm.
to that conversation we were having with Carol, that oftentimes it's a false protection, but it is a way to look at something real that needs to be looked at.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. If I'm understanding what you're saying, there are people who in their unconsciousness are cruel and will be hurtful, even harmful. Right? So we don't want to just gloss over that as if it's not really going on, and handling it from an ego conditioning place is never going to resolve it. Is that what you're pointing at?
No, I hadn't even seen that, but yes, absolutely what you said. And that place of I was actually looking at what you were talking to Tom about, where somebody who's 17 years old, as you pointed out, doesn't want to be told, because there's mm-hmm. a way in which it that resistance is it's a protection against having my experience invalidated.
Uh-huh. Which is very threatening, right? If my experience is not something that I can look to or rely on, well, where does that leave me?
That's right. And it's almost as if assistance is interpreted by ego as threatening. But from mm-hmm. that human perspective, it is a way of feeling like the help would in some first sense deny my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah.
big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
sorting through whether, as you say, and Carol pointed this out beautifully, whether it's a legitimate, no, there's somebody there who really needs assistance, or mm-hmm. if it's ego just throwing up another scam.
Right.
To get us to,
and
yeah.
it's possibly
yeah.
both, because ego mm-hmm. always throws up the threatened survival scam. And so in order to get to what needs to be gotten to, we have to get over the false protection of resistance to honoring what's beneath that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very helpful.
I believe we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So let's
okay.
see our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves? But maybe not.
Hmm.
Okay, next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hey, it's Lori in the Bay Area.
Well, hello, Lori.
And I'm thrilled to be on, although I realize there really isn't time. But
we will make time. We have time. No fear.
It's such a gift to be part of this sangha, even remotely and electronically.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have noticed around this topic and this month is money and safety are what are enmeshed with each other,
uh-huh.
and that there's so a lot of fear comes up around all my plans for the future have been dashed in terms of being in control of how much I'm going to make and what I'm going to do and how long I'm going to work until my 70s and my back went out, and so that's not happening, and so my financial future is not it's tenuous.
Uh-huh.
And this uh-huh. there's a lot of fear of, you know, not wanting to look, and at the same time being terrified, having
yeah.
ego terrify me that,
oh yeah,
boy, you're going to be, it's going to be hell. It's you're doomed.
Yeah, yeah. God, it's just, you know, in situations like this, it's hard to even say it's really helpful to see that. It is really helpful to see that,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, in a way, it really is, because you know you don't need to listen to that. And
right.
in terms of what Ashwini was just describing, that, of course, is what you need to get past in order to reach that authentic human being who is anxious, who does need a lot of support and long conversations about how we're going to be all right under these circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what came up on one of the recent assignments on what do I need to let go of, and what dropped mm-hmm. in that was so helpful was the belief in my inadequacy. That, you know, uh-huh. I'm terrified because I don't feel up to whatever it's going to take to, you know, survive.
And the way you described it, Lori, is you're being terrified, right? That
yeah.
you're hearing information that says you're not up to it. But actually, you don't have any proof of that, right? I mean, you've always been equal to whatever happened.
Yeah, and the coming, you know, the whole, the two basic choices of either being here or being in conditioning, if I just come back here and notice that I'm safe now and I have a place to live now and,
mm-hmm.
you know, things.
Have food now.
I can still make it to
the bathroom in the kitchen.
Exactly. Uh-huh. I'm still functional enough to even live on my own. So, you know, better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
Are able to do.
Yeah. Yes, and of course, I mean, I don't know what actually, you know, has happened with your back, but the thing that conditioning doesn't want us to look at is the possibility that this is not terminal. You know, that what may come out of this is that you actually regain enough mobility and that sort of thing, that other possibilities open up for you. We don't know. But what those voices want to do is close off all of that so that hopefully you will just give up. You'll just quit rather than continuing to move toward taking the best care of her that you can and helping her get stronger and helping her do everything that she can do and all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, you know, looking at that, it sort of it covers up there's a part who, and I don't know, this may be self-hate, but that believes, that is afraid of getting better. Like, oh no, then I'll actually have to
Be
back
self-hate.
Out in the world.
I can support you there. And even if, as Whitney was just talking about, even if there is a legitimate part of you that feels that way, you have every qualification to assist that person, right? You can help her know, hey, we really don't need to worry about that, okay? This is what we're focusing on now. We'll address that if it ever becomes a problem. But right now, I can assure you, I'm here. I'm here with you. It's fine. We're fine.
Yes. And, you know, I'm getting tears just hearing you say those words, because that's exactly what she needed to hear, and there is a part of me that says that to her.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So more of that.
More of that, yes. The recording and listening is very helpful.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the secret to our well-being, period, across the board. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
thank you so much,
Carrie.
Take care
of her. Thank you, Lori.
Well, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lori. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. It was such a powerful conversation. I wish we had time to talk about it a little bit more. But
mm-hmm. We always want more time, Miss Winnie.
Oh, it, yes. Yes, we do.
That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm. So our assignment for today: do your daily practice being on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message as a reminder to redirect the attention to what is true about you. Record and listen.
Lovely. All right. Here we go.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks,
go
everybody.
Happy.
Go happy.